And it's that time, the monthly meetings, and we begin with District 2 Supervisor Tim Humphrey. Hi, Tim. How are you?
I'm good, Raleigh. And here recently, I was put in as chairman of the Board of Supervisors, so now I'm chairman.
Congratulations. That's wonderful. Now, you've done that in the past, haven't you?
Yeah, a couple times before, but I reached out and got it because we've got so much going on in District 2, you know, all of the flood projects. We've got the Tri-City Sanitation going. We've got a lot of things happening, and almost all of it's in District 2.
All right.
And so that's why I thought, you know, I need to step up and be chairman, and then that way, I'm attended on agenda review and a lot of things. I get my ear closer to what's going on that way.
Excellent. Glad to hear it. So what's happening this month?
Well, there's a lot happening this month with our flood mitigation. And what's been going on is my activities is I attended 4 agenda meetings with added work sessions. So now that we have different management, we're doing an awful lot of work sessions, which gives the Board of Supervisors a lot more things to talk about, to make decisions on kind of what we want to do with capital projects and stuff. So I'm happy about that. And then I attended the Town of Miami Council meeting on in June. I attended a Southern Gila County Economic Development Group meeting on June 10th and July 8th. And then, like I said, I was appointed chairman, held a Guy Sela public meeting on June the 27th, met with Freeport representative regarding a new project that they're working on or thinking about working towards here in my district. And so I really appreciate the working relationship with them. Because I work to try to help them, and if they've got something coming up, they try to let me know ahead of time, so we get things better regulated.
Now, I've heard that Freeport is going to be contributing to the flood mitigation efforts, but an IGA is needed, and that Globe and Miami have signed it. Has the county as yet?
Not as of yet, and the reason being is our attorney, our board attorney, Joe Elbow, he had mentioned that the city's attorney was much more strict on IGAs, and so he wanted to get it through the city first.
And it is.
And I believe it's on our agenda sometime here in the near future.
Good.
We've already brought it before the board in a work session where we could talk about it all together.
Yes.
But not vote on it.
Okay.
And so, yeah, we got it up. I talked to Mr. O'Driscoll, manager Michael O'Driscoll, the other day, and he said that it's coming up soon on our agenda now that the City of Globe had cleared the IGA.
Good.
And then attended an agenda review. Like I say, when, you know, we usually get the agenda like on Thursday for a Tuesday meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And so the agenda review is done like a week ahead of that. And so now that I'm chairman, I go to the agenda reviews as well, because then I'm with the department heads that are bringing things to the agenda. So if I have questions and things of that nature, then I can be better prepared to chair that meeting, you know, because I just get more information and more hands-on with the department heads that are bringing things before the Board of Supervisors. So that's a good. And then held a Tonneau Basin community meeting on July the 7th.
Mm-hmm.
And then I held a Roosevelt community meeting on July 13th. And I believe I have a Roosevelt meeting tomorrow. And, yeah, so these meetings are neat meetings, and you know, there's no agenda. They just come and let's talk about my district, your area, what's needed, what can we do, where are things at. So that was good. That was busy with Guy Sela, Roosevelt, and Tonneau Basin. And so
great.
Yeah, and moving forward, I'm sure if anybody drives around, especially like out Six Shooter, they can see the work going on out there and Russell Gulch. That Russell Gulch, that's like 90% completed, you know, for the wash there from the hospital down to where the old gas company was. And so that's all shotcrete, and it looks really nice, and drainage has got put in to that creek that weren't there before. And so, yeah, it looks really good. And like I say, that was on a 220-day project, and we're about 90% complete, so we're doing good on that one. Six Shooter Canyon, we're about 70% complete on that. And it's really nice to be able to get in there and work and do a lot of shoring up where it was trying to wash out underneath the road and things of that nature. So I very much appreciate the people that gave us easements to be able to go in there and do that work so that that we don't lose that road. And so, like I say, I appreciate the people very much in Six Shooter and Ice House, and Russell as well, that gave us easements to be able to do this creek work that we're doing. And then Ice House Canyon, that's another 220-day project. We're about 80% complete on that one. Copper Hills Road, we've been doing some work on Copper Hills Road, and that one's about 55% complete. And so, you know, we're getting a lot of work done on that one to help save that road. And then we're partnering with a hospital they was sponsoring. They needed a sponsor for these 220-day projects to put up a retaining wall for that creek that's close to the hospital. And so that is the crew started on that on July the 8th, and it should come in well under the 220 days, providing that the weather will allow us to. And I know we're supposed to get a little rain and some showers, and I hope, you know, yesterday was great. I was over in Central Heights when that one hit, and boy, it really threw a lot of water for a little while, and then it went away like they're supposed to. So
yeah,
it was nice to finally get some rain. But anyway, that hospital wall is another one of the 220 days that, and we should be good on that one, helping them get that wall up.
So at this point, it appears that all the projects will be completed easily within the 220-day requirement.
Yes. It looks like, you know, we're way on the downhill slide of things. Cool. And so I'm happy about that. And you know, it's great when a team works together.
Yeah.
Things that can get accomplished. You know, it's a whole different ball game. But anyway, and then the other day I was. Bob Bogondo reached out to me here a while back, and he said that he talked to Mr. Dowdy, and apparently 50 years ago there was a time capsule put in the courthouse when the courthouse was finished.
Uh-huh.
And so what we did is on July the 8th, we opened, on July the 9th, we opened a time capsule that was placed on the completion.
What was in it?
You know, there was lots of stuff. There was lots of, each one of the supervisors had a packet in there, and you know, different stuff, pictures of them, things of that nature, carpet samples and stuff from the courthouse when it was finished. And yeah, you can imagine the carpet samples.
Oh my God.
50 years ago.
Yeah.
What we're doing is, I believe that all of the things will be photographed per packet, and then be displayed. I don't know for and I think the time capsule they do photographs and then shared on our social media platform.
Okay.
So then people can go on and see whose packet it was and what was in it. And you know, I didn't spend a lot of time going through a lot of the paperwork and stuff, but there was newspaper clippings and things of that nature. And I'm curious to have some time because I didn't notice right off the top of goals perhaps they were working towards. And so but anyway, and so I got with staff and I said, you know, guys, beans, we took this time capsule out. I think we need to put stuff back in it for another 50 years.
Yes.
So they thought that was a pretty good idea. And so staff's working, and I'm sure that we'll do something like, you know, supervisors will have packets and things of that nature. Perhaps the judges will, you know, so in 50 years, people can open and see kind of what was going on with the courts and things like that. And, you know, like for me, I want to put in that, you know, we just started the Tri-City Sanitation, first phase. And
right.
And we just got Bill, you know, 1067 passed and, you know, things like that. And just to, you know, so in the future, when people open it, then they'll say, you know, hey, they did finish that, or, you know, so I wonder what happened because that never got finished, and you know, things of that nature. But yeah, I'm thinking a little more goal oriented on what I've worked at as a supervisor to kind of see a direction, you know, like the landfills and things like that, and how that ends up in 50 years.
Yeah, you know, may consider something like a video down Highway 60 looking at all the businesses and the hotels and all that, because that's one of the fascinating things when we think back 50 years ago. Well, what was that 50 years ago? That kind of thing. It would be good to document right. What's here now compared to what it'll look like then.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, maybe photographs, because I think a photograph would last 50 years, whether a video would or not, I don't know.
No, as a digital file, I think that'll outlast the photograph. But either way, photographs would be great too.
Yeah, well, and a lot of it depends on where the time capsule is put, and you know, is it going to be heat related and things like that. But anyway, staff's working on it, and I think that'll be a fun deal.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, and we're USDA Rural Development Disaster Relief Home Repair Grant, a loan program event for the towns of Globe, Miami, and Gila County to help residents that were impacted by the flooding last fall. Mm-hmm. Gila County is sponsoring an event in partnership with the USDA to potentially assist with funding. Applications can be picked up at the Gila County Community Service building at 5515 South Apache, Suite 400. Gila County and local jurisdictions, distributions and intake are from July 1st through July 21st, 2026. And identified application ages 65 or older for potential grant eligibility, you know, rather than a loan, a grant eligibility. Completed applications must be submitted in a folder clearly labeled with name, address, and age. All completed applications must be returned no later than July 22nd, 2026. And then those go to Paula Horn, the Deputy Director of Health, Gila County Public Health and Community Service, and that's at our Central Heights building, the old school.
Now, for people who want more information, is there a place they can get that or someone they can call?
I would imagine that the Gila County Health Department Okay. Yeah, Paul Horn is running this. And,
okay.
And then, USDA Rural Development on-site review of application packages on July 22nd. USDA staff will be on-site, location to be announced. In other words, there's a location that hasn't been announced at this point to review home repair application packets submitted by Gila County.
Okay.
Staff will verify inclusion and accuracy of required documents, including proof of income, proof of property ownership, contractor repair estimates, identification of health and safety hazards, and requiring priority consideration. So,
okay.
Applicants may meet with USDA staff as needed to clarify information or provide missing documentation. So, what I was going to do tomorrow, here when I get time, is go by and pick up an application myself.
Yes.
Not that I'm going to fill it out.
Right, but, so that you'll know precisely, yes.
Yeah, then when somebody asks me a question, it's like, well, heck, I don't know, you know.
Yeah.
That's not much information, but I'm going to swing by and pick up an application or read through one so that I'm better understanding of what the requirement is
okay.
for the people. But hopefully, you know, this will help because, you know, we're not sure about other fundings. We're always reaching for other fundings, but that could help in some of these people that had losses.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so, yeah, things have been doing pretty well. Like I say, we're restructuring. The landfill is started phase 3B. So there's a lot of equipment and things up at the landfill, a lot of changes going on with the landfill up Russell. And so I believe, you know, they've advertised and stuff that the dollar dump day
right.
is going to be canceled
for now,
know, during construction.
Yeah.
Yeah, for now, because it's just too much, too many things going on at once. But it will resume here in a few months after we get more of that done.
Sure.
And so, yeah, and updated on the zoning ordinance, four meetings have been held with staff and consultants who reviewed the current zoning ordinance and estimated a plan for drafting a new ordinance. The consultants also met with the Board of Supervisors individually and the Planning and Zoning Board. The first public meeting is set for July 16th with work sessions in both Globe and Payson. Additional public meetings will be scheduled and announced.
Okay.
So, yeah, and so I very much urge the public to come in and talk to them and give your two cents how you feel about roosters, your next door neighbor, how you feel about tiny homes, how you feel about, living in a fifth wheel or motorhome.
This is a great opportunity. Do you know what time and where on July 16th?
I don't. I don't. Rolly and I apologize.
So where can people call to find out?
I think they can call. I'll tell you what. Call my office, Terry Links, at 928-402-4418.
Okay, great. 928-402-4418, Terry Links. Because July 16th,
yes.
Coming up in days.
It is. And I think it's going to be at the county complex, but I'm not
right.
for certain. I guess I could maybe look at my calendar and see, but I can't get my calendar up right now. But no,
this is huge, especially now. You know, we invite people to send email because we know they don't call. So, month we got a few. I talked with Mayor Al Gomeras about this too. The situation is people are confused in terms of, well, we got to rebuild now with regard to code. Do we get any leeway on this? Our new code's going to be stricter because, you know, all those kind of questions. So these are the...
Right, but a lot of that's different. Gila County is different than the City of Globe.
Sure,
City of Globe sets their ordinances and,
sure,
and, you know, we set ours. But
Yeah,
and, but for, and a lot of these... Go ahead.
I was going to say, for people living in Claypool or Central Heights, many areas that are county, it's going to be the county ordinances that governs them. So while the city's doing what they're doing, a lot of people are more concerned, hey, I live in the county, what's going to happen? And this meeting sounds like information will be gotten, maybe go a long way to find out.
Sure. And, you know, ordinances, once you set ordinances, you know, and zonings, Gila County is, you know, runs, we're 5,000 square miles. We run from Hayden Winkleman all the way up to, you know, the other side of Payson, Pine, Strawberry.
Right.
And so, you know, the atmosphere in different locations of Gila County is really different.
Vastly.
And so we need to hear from people from different areas, because what may be suitable for a recreational area like Roosevelt Lake isn't good for, you know, some place north of Payson.
Absolutely.
Or down by Hayden and Winkleman. And so, you know, we really want to reach people and get their input on, you know, I mean, like I said, you know, roosters and things of that nature. You know, if you... Can you have a rooster anywhere, or you got to own at least an acre? You know, there's a lot of things that could be covered. Where, you know, the tiny homes are getting to be a popular thing in some cities and areas.
Sure.
Okay. If you can in certain places, then other people in other places will zone it different because, you know, they've got, 3,000 square foot homes, so they don't want them any home next to them. So
now,
you know, the ordinance is a big deal, and we need to put a lot of thought in it.
Now, this is interesting because you're so right. The county is so vast and so different. And even the population centers like Globe, very different from Payson. So when you're looking at places like Pine, Strawberry, that now have a ton of housing, short-term housing, versus people who don't, is it possible that the ordinances can be written so that different things apply depending on different circumstances?
Sure. You know, that's all... That's all, you know, zoning,
right.
Whether you're R1 or GU or, you know, and, you know, some places ordinances are different than others. Setbacks are different than others.
So it doesn't have to be this universal for the county.
No.
Okay.
It can be set by, you know, what your zone is. And, you know, that can change depending on, you know, where you're at on what you're able to do. And so, yeah, your zoning and your ordinances in those zonings are important. And so, you know, they like I said, I was interviewed by them, and I, you know, I came up with a lot of things because I say I do, you know, at the start of this, I said that all the public meetings I do. You know, if you ask people, they'll tell you. You know, that's
right.
They're not shy, and so, well, some are.
Right.
Some are real shy, but I hope that they will come out and voice their opinion before it's written, instead of tell us how stupid it is after it's written, when we ask for your input.
Oh, absolutely. And for people who are shy to the point that they want to remain anonymous, again, if you'll write to radio@kqss.net, tell me what you want to tell Tim, for instance. We will not reveal who you are, because I know some people, they just don't want their name and their face on it, and that's fine. So just send us emails, and like I said, we got a few this month, and they all were about things like code and zoning and what's going to happen. So absolutely, let us know what you want to know, and I will ask and not identify you.
Yeah, that would be great, because, you know, my email is easy. It's thumphrey@gilacountyaz.gov.
Right.
And so if somebody wants to email me their information, please do. And I think planning and zoning also, too. You know, you can reach out to planning and zoning with what you feel about information in the county.
How do you contact them?
The phone number for planning and zoning, I don't have, hold on. Okay. I don't have that number in front of me right now, Raleigh.
Because sometimes trying to navigate the online sites to get the information you need, some people can do it easily, but a lot of people can't.
Okay, well, again, if you need a number, 928-402-4418 is Terry Links, my assistant, and if you call her, I'm sure she can get you
perfect
the number for what you
need. So she'll be a good clearinghouse. Excellent. All right.
She will be a good clearinghouse for, because she a lot of things going on, and I juggle a lot of things, and so she's got a lot of information that I don't have or store, because I don't have room for it all, and I'm trying to get other things done rather than try to memorize on a lot of the different phone numbers and things.
No, absolutely. That's a clearinghouse is great, because for the individuals who are writing and say, hey, my neighbor's not cleaning up their area, you know, what do I do? If you don't know what to do, call Terry, and she'll do that, because I know we've talked at many meetings about the blight and about this, and there's tremendous frustration from people who are living next to truly what become hazards in terms of what can they do. So Terry will have a number, and hopefully there will be a follow-up. Now, for people who say, yeah, I've reported it, but nobody's doing anything, at that point, is that where they should contact you and say, hey, here's where it is?
Yeah, reach out. And you can, you know, you can reach out to me and I'll research it, or you can reach out to code enforcement, because a lot of these things, if someone... Yeah, and a lot of our blight is unowned property.
Yes.
We've talked about that. But a lot of it is owned property, and the people live out of state, and they could give a rat's.
You're so right. You're so right.
About what's going on with their place here. And so getting them a citation, or summonsing them to a citation when you don't have correct information on reaching out to them, that's difficult. And like you say, on that bill, 1067 is for blighted properties. And the way that was is for the unowned property, because of investors or people that have passed away. That's what was that pretty much tagged for. But we're researching right now to see if we also can't use it for those people that we can't contact.
Absolutely.
And I know we can. Right now, I know we can if it's a health issue. You know, if there's some kind of health hazard for that neighborhood, then yes, very much the health department can go in. And we do go in and clean these places up, but right now, Raleigh, we have $250,000 in that budget for clean and lean.
Yeah.
And you know, that goes a little ways, but not a long
much.
Ways. And so
now,
I
agree wholeheartedly. In addition to health hazards, what a lot of people are worried about right now is fire hazards. You know, if they're living into what's virtually an abandoned house, it's owned by somebody, somebody's paying the taxes, but we don't know where they are, that kind of thing, like you say, with code. And here they have what's virtually a forest. People are very concerned about that. So hopefully there's something that can be done where the county can go in and clean fire hazards as well as health hazards.
Sure. And you know, it's something I've been working on the whole time I've been a supervisor. And in the state of Arizona, land laws are very difficult to get anything, any kind of movement on.
Yeah.
You know, people say, well, they have a right to have their property. Well, yeah, but the people that live next to them have a right to have their property
to be safe,
not next to a garbage pile.
Right, right. Literally, they have a right to be safe. Yeah. It's the old, your rights end where mine begin. Absolutely.
Yes, right. And you know as well as I do, if it's overgrown like that, it's not only a fire hazard, but then there's, you know, mice and other things.
Of course.
They kind of like those abandoned, you know, brushy, dirty places.
Right.
And so, yeah, then you need an exterminator about once a month for your neighbor.
Well,
believe me, I feel your pain. I have a house on Golden Hill, and it's next to one of the nastiest places in the world. And I've been trying forever to get something done with that property. And like I said, a lot of the state laws are prohibitive of counties, you know, doing a lot with these properties. So
yeah, it'd be good if it could be somewhat of a severe fine for the houses that are owned by somebody, something where, hey, happens the second time, that's $10,000 or whatever.
Yeah.
So you know, back to liens and those things.
We do have that for the hearing officer, for the regular people that we can reach. It's the people that we can't reach is where we're having
right
the difficulties,
and that's where we go back to hopefully amending things so that it can be put right on their property taxes.
Yes
Yeah,
that's what we're going to work on come or something I'm already working on for next year's legislative policy committee to start working with. But you know, and speaking of fire, Rolly, you know, we just need to let everybody know, okay, monsoon, we got a little rain. We're still in severe fire
danger.
So, you know, and Gila County mirrors the U.S. Forest Service on fire restrictions. The Forest Service entered stage 2 fire restrictions, and county does as well. On June 30th, the Tonto National Forest entered stage 2 restrictions. This prohibits building, maintaining, attending or using a fire, campfire, or stove fire, smoking, except within an enclosed vehicle or building, or developed recreational campsite, or while stopped in an area at least 3 feet in diameter that is barren of or clear, you know, where nothing can burn.
Right.
Welding, can't welding, no welding, operating any acetylene or other torches with an open flame, discharging firearms, air rifles, or gas guns, you know, because of the ricochet, spark, things of that nature. And then, we need to remember that fire is, even though we're starting to get these afternoon rains, we're still in stage 2 restrictions on what we can do.
And it may get worse as the summer goes on, because we're in it for a while, a few more months. So it behooves people not to think, well, it rained on Saturday, so all's fine. No, it's not. So, yes, I agree.
Right, yeah, and a lot of them, you know, and if you, like I say, we're a recreational area, and a lot of people pull trailers.
Yes.
Tighten your chains up. You know, they say, well, the chain's too long. If you'll twist it 2 or 3 times before you hook it up, that'll shorten it. You know,
right.
Dragging chains, you know, on trailers, boat trailers, you know, RV trailers, that has caused an awful lot of fires for us, and so if your chains are dragging in the asphalt, by all means, twist them a couple, 3 times.
Right. Well, I'm sure that's also a violation if you're caught in that kind of a situation. You can't get away with doing it, I would hope.
Well, yeah, but a lot of people do, because we've had a lot of fires because.
Yes,
of it, so.
I know.
So, yeah. But we're trying not to. But yeah, we're just working on a lot of things. We're restructuring interior. Things are going well. We're working. Everybody now seems to be working as a team instead of a dictatorship, and it's making a world of difference. Also, too, we're working on our summer youth program has grown immensely. We had, you know, like 103 kids all over because we're partnered with City Globe, Town of Miami, Pace, and Hayden Winkleman. You know, that thing has really blown up. And so what we're working on now is kind of to build your own is, okay, once our summer youth program is over, then the kids go, you know, back to school, and if they're seniors, you know, and they go to school 2 or 3 days, then they go flip burgers or do whatever they do. And so I got with Mr. O'Driscoll the other day, and we had a meeting, and we're working on perhaps maybe some part-time employment for some of the youth that are working, you know, have worked with the county over a couple summers or whatever. Now they're seniors, you know, they're not planning on going to school or something. And, you know, so maybe once this program's over, if they're still interested, perhaps through the county, we can do something part-time, and then they're 18 out of school, and then they've worked with us for 2 years and things of that nature. So, you know, it's amazing. A lot of the people that are working with the county have been there 20, 30 years.
Yeah.
So they started a long time when they were young. So I want to try to get that working again, starting with the summer program, and then if things work out well, then part-time and until you see what you want to do. So
no, that's great. So sort of extending the summer program to a degree all year round with the opportunity for some part-time employment.
Yes.
Good.
Yes, that's one of the things we're looking at, and it's not for everybody, but like I say, you know, for some they may want, you know, to do that, because then our employees, we help them go to school, we help them do things that they're interested in, you know, to help, like even somebody we hire, if they want to get better at what they're doing, you know, and go to school to get a degree or something of that nature in that field,
mm-hmm.
we work with them. So
anyway,
we'll see what we can do about trying to build our own on some of this. And but anyway, other than that, really, that's
a lot.
Now.
No, I see.
That's
you're
lot,
kidding.
Yeah.
Other than that, that's an awful lot, Tim. So
it is.
Yeah,
it is.
Absolutely.
But that's good. We need a lot done right now with the rains coming and the destruction that we had, you know, from the other rains, and so but. But anyway, we're working at it, and like I say, we'll work on future flood mitigation with an intergovernment agreement with the Town of Miami, City of Globe, Freeport, and the county. So
that's great. Sounds like everything's on track, and that, like you say, changes in the county and management, employment, all that makes a world of difference. So hopefully, 30 days from now, things will be going even better.
Okay, Raleigh, I thank you very much for your time and letting me be a part of it. And so, and like I say, if anybody has any questions of me, 928-961-2885.
Okay. Yeah, and we've got that online. And this
okay,
meeting
good.
will replay on next Sunday morning on KJAA AM and FM. It will be online at kqss.net in perpetuity. And the phone numbers and contact are there as well. And always a pleasure to hear from you. I look forward to next month. If anything happens between now and then, don't hesitate to reach out.
Thank you, Raleigh. Take care.
You too. Monster Hits for Heat.